straight up with no chaser. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
Welcome back into the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia. In studio, two more training camp practices in our future, and a guy that's been at most of the practices. We're not a psycho going to Florida in the month of August. That's Matt Perino covering the team for the Syracuse Post-Standard. Matt, it's good to have you back on with us today. We learn of Kyren Williams' extension with the Los Angeles Rams, and I wanted to start there with you because I know that a lot of fans right away are saying, well, if Williams can get 11 years per on an extension, shouldn't the Bills be offering something similar to James Cook? Does it feel like it's apples to apples? What's your take on the Williams deal in Los Angeles and what it might mean for a deal to get done here in Buffalo?
Yeah, I've always thought in that range is probably where the conversations are happening. You know, I know that a lot of was made early in the offseason about the $15 million per season, and I just never thought that even on Cook's side that they would probably demand that high of a number considering a bunch of different factors. Playing time, production really is, you know, the big-time production came in one season. I mean, Kyren Williams has been pretty consistent since he got in the league a couple years ago. And the other thing is, like, he plays on third down, right? And that's been the big holdup, I think, you know, projecting out James Cook. He said all the right things. He's talking about being more of a factor there, maybe being a better blocker. Maybe he believes he's already ready to do that and waiting for an opportunity. That remains to be seen. But I think the big piece of this negotiation, I think this could potentially kickstart things. I mean, setting the market at a very similar production player could be something that maybe gets the two sides talking. Brandon Bean dropped a little bit of a nugget on One Bills Live yesterday I thought was interesting. Like, this is, one of the first deals he's ever negotiated with Zach Hiller, who's James Cook's agent, and or the agency in general. And some of the time when you have relationships with agents over the years, a lot of these negotiations happen a little bit more clean, I want to say, or maybe even a little bit more fluid in terms of the conversation. Now, he did say that they've been in constant communication, which I think is something that, you know, going back and forth, trying to, you know, figure all these things out. But the consistent part of this offseason with all the extensions that Bean has handed out is all of those came in considerably below what I think all of the cap experts had projected those guys to get annually on a free agent contract. So if you're sitting there at the negotiation table with James Cook's camp and you're sitting here saying, listen, we re-signed all four of these guys and they all took less to play here, and that's kind of like your operating procedure and you can't get close enough together, I could see why this is kind of delayed out. And listen, the leverage piece is important to talk about too. The Bills have all of it, right? Like, he's got to play on the final year of his deal. He can hold out now, but once you start to potentially sit out regular season games, you're costing yourself money. And so I think that ultimately, you know, getting to next offseason, maybe even as far as free agency, if they can't come to a deal and figuring out for real what his actual worth is on the open market, what somebody's willing to pay. And who knows, maybe somebody's willing to pay up to $15 million per season. And then you just shake his hand and say, we wish you the best. Kind of like Tremaine Edmonds a couple years ago.
Yeah. Matt, what did you make of just the idea to hold in? All right. So we're well into camp at this point, and you heard from the Bills themselves from being like, this came as a surprise. Like, you've talked to people around the situation. Like, what has been the reaction from the team that Cook and his representation decided to go this way?
I felt like it was so awkward on Monday because James kind of popped his head out of the tent for a second, was making his walk out to the field where he kind of watched practice the day before, and all the cameras were lined up waiting to get a shot of him, and he quickly did a 180 and disappeared into the field house, and we didn't see him the rest of practice, which tells me, without being able to talk to him, that, like, he's not really about this whole you know, show that it's turned into be. But, you know, when you have people in your ear, obviously his brother has been a longtime NFL running back, knows the game, probably in his ear. I mean, he's been very vocal on social media. His representatives, I'd imagine, talking about, like, this is your last chance to, like, you know, before the regular season starts, to show that you still want, you know, make a statement, you still want a deal. And also, I thought that it was very interesting, the timing of this. He participated on Friday night in the scrimmage day, and that was the same day that Michael Parsons put out his long note and demanding a trade. And lo and behold, 2 days later, the first practice the Bills have after that, and now James Cook is kind of doing a hold-in. So it feels like maybe a little bit of a reaction to that, and maybe, you know, from his team's perspective, keeping this situation in the news. But I think from Cook's perspective, I believe Brandon Bean in that it is probably hurts him to not be a part of practice and getting ready for the season. He's been very upfront about, you know, being able to chase the Super Bowl this year. I mean, this might be, depending on where he signs next year, if he leaves Buffalo, if this does a deal doesn't materialize, this might be the last really great chance he has to go try to win a Super Bowl. And so there's so many dynamics to this whole situation. And I think what's probably going to end up happening, deal or no deal, is we get into, you know, the practices back at One Bills Drive, and he probably kind of locks back in.
I was going to ask you if it gets contentious here between the player and the team, because you're right, this is kind of unprecedented. We haven't seen anything like this. Brandon Bean hasn't had to deal with anything like this. He's admitted as much. And there's nothing stopping the Bills from fining the player for not wanting to practice or not being a participant in practice. Do you think it goes that way? Or do you think that there is a resolution here, some middle ground here in the next couple of days?
I mean, I think there's the entire range of outcomes here is in play from my perspective. I mean, if we were on this phone call right now and the news broke that a agreement had been made, that wouldn't shock me. If he doesn't practice again at St. John Fisher, that wouldn't surprise me. If this lingers until the last possible time where he cannot participate and not be fined or whatever the circumstances around this are, depending on his conversations and interactions with the Bills, is nothing would surprise me at this point. And I think there's probably a level of frustration when you're one of five players that are extension eligible and you're the only one that hasn't gotten a new deal, despite the details around why that's the case. And we just covered all of that, right? Like there's real, like, common sense reasons why that this is the one that's still lingering out there. But there's still probably a feeling down deep like, okay, how much does this organization want me that they're not willing to, you know, pay and not willing to give me a new deal just like they gave to Benford and Bernard and Shakir and Rousseau. And all those little elements are at play. The dynamics here are fascinating. And I think anything that ends up taking place over the next couple of days, I won't be surprised.
Matt, I don't know what your nickname is, but I know James Cook is Jimbo. You know, like it seems like, and I'm comparing this to the Cowboys situation where, boy, that's gotten contentious and personal. And, well, it shouldn't be personal. It should just be business. And it seems like from day one, it seemed like the Bills knew where this could go. But we want to make sure that we still want to keep this guy happy when he eventually comes back to the field here.
Yeah, and I don't know that the situation in Dallas has gotten to a point that Jerry Jones hasn't invited it to get to. Like that, I mean, he almost revels in this kind of stuff. And I almost wonder if he drags out these contract situations just to keep the Dallas Cowboys in the headlines and on all the talk shows and the national TV shows and all that kind of stuff. Whereas the Bills, I mean, you could hear from Brandon the last couple of days how much this kind of eats at him a little bit. This is the first time in 9 years that they've had somebody actually hold out or hold in this case because of a contract. He's set things up over the years to not have to really deal with that sort of thing. And this is something that, for whatever reason, they just have not been able to get on the same page. With all that said, I don't think this is some massive distraction. I mean, maybe we see something on Hard Knocks over the next two episodes. I don't know if this would, depending on how long it goes, I guess it could drag into like a second or third episode. But, you know, that to me would be what would potentially really make it a big deal, is if there's some type of interaction on the show or something from Jim or James Cook's side that we see or learn about. But at this stage, with how this thing is playing out, I do expect him. He's come back at every stage and shown up, right? Like, he showed up after skipping voluntary, showed up for mandatory, showed up for the start of training camp. He's doing the hold in now, but I would fully expect him to show back up, especially with the positivity that, you know, even despite the surprise, how Bean has talked about the whole situation.
Matt, take a walk with me. It's a journey we've taken before. We spent some time on this journey during the off season. It's a journey that mentions those Dallas Cowboys and Micah Parsons.
Oh,
It's me wondering why we as fans settle. Why we have giant eyes during the offseason, the beginning of the offseason, and we get excited when we think of the prospect of an elite player joining the roster, and that just fades, and you realize, oh, that's not really going to happen. And I know that the Dallas Cowboys aren't going to trade Micah Parsons, but what if the Dallas Cowboys trade Micah Parsons? What would you think the Bills would be comfortable with giving up, including James Cook, in a deal like that?
So, funny enough, I've never been more all in on the idea of this kind of thing, especially, you know, when I talk about this, I try to talk about it through the lens of what I think the Bills would do, right? And yeah. I still think that, for right or for wrong, Bean values his draft picks too much to make this kind of swing, which would cost, probably for the Bills, I think this would cost three first round picks because of where they pick every year.
Sure.
You know, those three first-round picks aren't the same as if you're getting three first-round picks from the Jets or from the Titans or from some of these other teams that are perennial, you know, lottery teams. And so that, to me, is the part of it. I just can't get to a point where I think Brandon Bean would part with the capital to go out and take this kind of swing. Do I think he should do it? Yes, because of what Sean McDermott was talking about in February, right? Like, finding game wreckers, game changers on that side of the ball, the Bills don't currently have one. They have, like, ghosts of one, and I say that because Matt Milano was a game wrecker 3 years ago. Like, he was a difference maker as a linebacker, as maybe the best off-ball linebacker in the NFL before the injuries. And we've seen flashes of that, but I don't think you can bank on that being the case this year. He's in a contract year. I think that's setting up really nicely. He's had a great training camp. But at this stage, I'm not putting him in that category of where I think a Micah Parsons sits. And listen, the more and more I thought about it, and the pushback I gave you months ago was that I'm not a huge fan of the off-the-field stuff with Parsons, the podcast, all the different things that come along with that experience. But the thing is, what do you build a culture for? You build a culture, to me, to be able to onboard, you know, maybe problematic personalities or problematic just kind of like ways people go about things. And your culture gets them to kind of, I don't want to say fall in line, but like their operating procedure just is different than like in that setting in Dallas where it's the Wild Wild West, literally. I mean, Jerry Jones, the way he chases headlines and the way that he runs his organization, he's either so oblivious and tone deaf, or it's a guy with a plan. And I almost feel like Parsons might be just feeding into that whole situation. So if you're asking me, should the Bills make this deal? Yes. I don't think he'll be available for trade, to your point. But I think what we've seen since the Kyir Elam pick is where the Bills are picking now, you either have to be ultra aggressive in the draft. Like, I think I'm thinking about the draft 2 years ago when I thought they should have gone aggressively up to go get a Brian Thomas Jr., who was standing out as, okay, he's number four in this draft at wide receiver. In next year's class, he's very likely number one. You got to go get those guys in those drafts when it doesn't mean you got to trade up from 27 to 10 to get him. You can trade up to 16 or wherever he went in the draft, and it doesn't cost you as much. And I don't think Bean is necessarily hit on those kinds of moves. He's traded up for Elam. He's traded up for Kincaid. He traded back and went with the alternate plan in Coleman. And listen, I'm high on Coleman. Like, I'm higher than almost anybody on Coleman when it comes to the local beat. But I still think Brian Thomas Jr. is in a different, like, tier in terms of what he did in his rookie season and the ceiling for what he can be in the NFL. And if you're not going to pull the trigger on those moves, yeah, go out and he's already shown that he's willing to give up a first round pick to go get a difference maker on offense. Now maybe go do it on defense.
Matt, if James Cook is the number one storyline, I think we all can kind of agree. Number two are the injuries. Just getting crazy, right? And it's a topic. It's not really a question I can ask you, but I think it's something we just can kind of put out there a little bit. Is this just extraordinarily like bad luck here the Bills are having with all these soft tissue injuries, or do we kind of take a look at a new strength and conditioning coach who was promoted from within and Will Greenberg? What's your thoughts on everything that's happening on the guys who aren't participating right now?
It's a great question. I don't really know. I don't know how much that impacts thing. I think it's worth asking Sean about it next time he comes to the podium and just like, all right, you have a whole new program in here. It's, I say a whole new program, but it's also a continuation to a degree. How much of a continuation is it? I mean, do you feel like Will has made a lot of changes compared to what Siano ran before him? And where do you attribute all of these injuries to? I think that's a question that's worth asking. But I also think that, like, if you look across the injury sheet, you know, starting with Curtis Samuel and Baylen Spector goes down yesterday, even Khalil Shakir, who's dealt with some leg injuries, ankle injuries over the course of his career, too. He's super tough. He plays through them usually. High ankle really worries you, but it's usually the same character, cast of characters here, right? I mean, Curtis Samuel, I really think you got to ask yourself, the fact that you, again, the first week of training camp and he's already tweaked something, is this a guy you can count on? Or is this somebody that when he does get back, you play him in a preseason game, maybe pull a trade for him, get him out of here. I mean, you've got some really interesting pieces at the bottom of that room. I've been singing the praises of KJ Hamler all training camp long, and Tyrell Shavers is the hottest guy in that room right now. He's coming off of a sensational practice. I wrote all about him in my observation post yesterday. We talked about it on the podcast. That performance wasn't just a camp darling, like, kind of performance. It was the kind of day where, sure, there's a lot of injuries, but you're going against first-team defense, and you're winning, and you're making difference-making plays, and you have Bobby Babich, who stops after practice, who isn't one to compliment players. Like, I've not seen this very much, and I'm not in there, so I can't, like, talk on the day-to-day stuff, but if you've ever listened to Bobby in a press conference, him downplay, especially young players and what they're doing, he's a tough guy to impress. And for him to stop Tyrell Shavers after practice yesterday and say, hey, man, you had a really good day. I mean, I think that speaks to the kind of ascension that we've seen from him. And again, you talk about injuries. This is a guy that was carted off the field a week ago, and he comes back in a week from a sprained ankle, and he has one of the best days a receiver has had all training camp long. And, you know, there's still going to be a lot of hurdles that he's got to jump over to make this team. But I think those are the questions you have to start asking yourself. The Baylen Spector, who the Bills are all in on, like, even throughout all of the injury problems over the years, he still is getting priority in training camp. And we don't even get through it, and we're talking about another calf injury for a guy that has had more calf injuries over the last 2 years than anybody. He even talked about it last year about being a real problem for him. It seems like it's something that pops up all the time. And I think you have to just start asking your questions. Are some of these guys that are dealing with the same injuries over and over again, is it time to try to pivot to find different answers at these positions?
Is it overblown, the injury concerns? It is training camp. It is before we even get to the first preseason game. And we're talking about a team that has, by all accounts, really, really good depth and a lot of continuity, whereas this time around the league, if you look at other training camps, they're just working on installations. They're working on just breaking huddles. It's ugly if you look at some other training camps versus what we see every time we're looking at a Bills practice. Are the injuries overblown, Matt? Does it really matter this time of year if you've got a soft tissue injury as long as you're ready to go for week one?
It matters for Cole Bishop.
I was going to say that's the caveat. That's the one guy. Yeah.
That to me is like where I look in Maxwell Hairston, who's kind of falling. And listen, that was a non-contact thing. Like that's tough, right? Like to have that happen in the middle of a individual kind of slow portion of practice, like that is just bad luck. But the Bishop thing is like, again, I mean, we're talking about a huge chunk of reps that he's missing. And you hope that in year two, he's better equipped and built to withstand that and be more ready when he gets back. I mean, I'd imagine he'll probably ramp up here over the next couple of days. He's got a shot to play in the preseason game, and he missed, I think, almost all of the preseason. Maybe he only played in one. I can't remember exactly last year. That, to me, is where I look, where it's not overblown. Like, all the rest of them, like, for the most part, unless somebody has, like, an injury that keeps him out for a big chunk. Like, Taylor Rapp had a knee injury, and I wrote about that. We talked about it. Like, this is another guy that's kind of been banged up at times over the course of his career. He missed one day, and he's back. I'm not as concerned about those kinds of injuries for guys especially that have more experience and can lean on that. For Bishop and Hairston, I mean, those are two pieces of your secondary that I think the Bills are counting on in a lot of ways. And maybe not in September, maybe not in October, but down the stretch. Like, Tre'Davious White has been an unbelievable story. And honestly, I don't root for this. I root for stories at this point. And so I could safely say I'm rooting for Tre' White. Like, I think that it's just going to be such an amazing story to chronicle over the course of this season. But in December, against the Kansas City Chiefs in the playoffs and against the Ravens and the Bengals, are you going to be able to count on him? Maybe. Maybe you will. But I'll tell you, I'd like to have that speed of Maxwell Hairston available and ready, because it's one thing to have it and be able to throw it into a game. It's a whole other thing for the defensive coach staff to believe in the guy enough to put him out there. They never had that trust in Kyer Elam, and right now is the time to build that trust, and Maxwell Hairston's missing all of it.
Well, if you want more takes from Matt Perino, certainly the Shout podcast, but better yet, in person in Rochester on Thursday. Matt, tell everybody about it. What are the hours? Where do they go?
Listen, we did it on Sunday last year, and I think that was a huge miss on my part. I think Thursday night on Park Avenue, party kind of night, middle, like end of the summer, August 7th, this Thursday night, 5:30, the party's going to be starting. We'll have the live podcast. We're going to bring fans onto the show. I want your hottest Bills takes, your biggest takeaways from training camp, your biggest maybe roster projection, bold predictions, anything you want to talk about. Plus, me and Ryan will be there hanging out all night long. Dorado on Park Avenue, and then Wingnuts is bringing the truck out from Buffalo. They're going to be cooking wings all night long. And now that they're bringing the truck, we won't run out of wings this year.
I was going to say,
the first
Matt,
year we ran out.
I was going to say, I mean, like, I love you guys, but, man, I wanted some wing nuts, and they ran out when I went to visit you guys at Park Ave the last time you got, or 2 years ago, I think it was.
Can I tell you, 2 years later, they didn't run out. They just knew about your garbage plate habit and decided to hide all the wings from you. If I see another garbage plate on your Instagram story, Michael, we are going to have some more.
Now, listen,
on the sideline.
Now, Ryan, I will say this, okay? Well, we know Ryan's a plate guy. We're going to talk to him later this week. Matt, I'm going to tell you, I'm eating the garbage plate. It's a lot of calories, but I'm managing. I'm managing the calories. I'm still getting my dad runs in the morning. I'm not giving up completely. I haven't given up on life completely. I know it might look like it from my intake, if you're following along with all the plates that I've had in the last couple of weeks. Two. That's two plates in I want to say 2 weeks. That's not normal. That's not healthy for a guy like me.
Dude, unless you had your entire family eating that plate that you posted the other day, the fact that you polished that thing off solo, I have concerns.
Solo.
I am a concerned friend up here in Buffalo right now. We're going to have a serious conversation when I get there tomorrow.
It's called an intervention. I'll be expecting it.
Do you know what reputation we have, Matt, real quick? We've never had Catherine Fitzgerald on the show. She's coming on tomorrow. And she
said,
you're not going to make me eat something, are you? Like, what? What are you talking about? Oh, this is the word on us,
yeah,
stranger.
Yeah.
Well,
either you or Elena, you know, gave it up and said, yeah, you'll go on the show, but they have to initiate you with a garbage plate first.
I mean, she must follow Danger on Instagram. I don't know, but we're all worried and concerned, and, you know, we'll talk about it on the sideline.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So Thursday, keep the wing nuts away from me.
Matt, I'm in Thursday, buddy, so.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah,
I'm
going to
get you on the show. Listen, I'm going to get you on the show this year, Gino. Don't you worry about a thing.
Well, I'm just there for the wings there, Matt. I can say hello. I don't want to barge in front of fans if they're going to come on the show here, bud. So.
All right, we're looking forward to it, Matt. Thanks,
Thank
as
you,
always,
Matt.
For the time. We'll see you around camp.
Later, boys.
You got it. Matt Perino covering the team. Buffalo Bills for the Syracuse Post-Standard. He and Ryan Talbot do a great job. Ryan will join us on Thursday, our final day of camp, and, of course, the big event Thursday night as camp closes up shop here in Rochester and heads back to Orchard Park. Dorado over there on Park Avenue.
Yeah, we've got an exciting next hour coming up. Michael F. Florio, card-carrying member of Bills Mafia.
Yeah, we'll F. Who does fantasy football for the NFL Network, will be joining us about a half an hour or so from now. We'll talk some fantasy football with F. Big guest joining us next here in the Sports Bar. In fact, we're privileged and honored to have President Jay Conrad Seneca of the Seneca Nation joining us next in the Sports Bar. The big news of the day here in Rochester, the Nighthawks aren't going anywhere, courtesy of the Seneca Nation. President Jay Conrad Seneca to share some of his enthusiasm for keeping this team local here in Rochester.
Yeah, so if you're a Nighthawk fan or you just love Rochester sports, we encourage you. We'll also have time for your calls at 866-4326-866-4FAN.
You're listening to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan Rochester.